We thank you, Lord, for your presence here this morning with us. We thank you, Father, that you have come down in this hour because you love us, and certainly because you love us, we love you. We've learned to love you, Father. And I pray, Father, as your Holy Spirit, which has quickened us by your word, would increase in these bodies, that it would take a hold of every fiber of our body, that would bring forth, Lord, a complete unity between our soul, our spirit, and your spirit, and our body in conformity to that spirit, Father. We pray, Lord, that knowing that you have come, your presence is here to vindicate that word, that we would hold to that word, that it would be our absolute. And Father, we just commit ourselves to the process by which your word is changing us. And we thank you, Lord, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning we'll be looking one more time at paragraph 175 of Brother Ram's sermon called, Who is this Melchizedek? Where he said, now if that was him yesterday and the way that he acted to prove that he was among the people, the Messiah promised, and that's the way he identified himself as promised by the Bible, he'd do the same thing now. Wouldn't he have to do the same thing? You know, that's not a whole lot that he said there, but yet it is a whole lot because he says that, and the way he acted to prove that he was among the people. And the word prove means to vindicate. And so Brother Branham is letting us know that God comes, his presence is there, he does certain things in order to vindicate his presence. Now what we're looking at in this statement is that God vindicates his servants by his very own presence. And he vindicates his presence by the things which only he can do. His actions are what shows that his presence is here. Well, I remember years ago, I believe it was at the Columbus meetings in 1982, that Brother Vail preached a message, and he made the statement, no prophet, no God, no God, no prophet. Now that statement has stayed in my mind for these 20 years now, because the presence of God spells out one thing, vindication. If there's a prophet on the scene, it's because God himself is on the scene. Now, the critics can say all they want, and they can disagree with Brother Branham on his doctrine, all they wish to, but none of them has any vindication for their own ministry. Several times I've written to them, and I said, you know, you might disagree, and you might say Brother Branham's not even a Christian, this, that, and the other, but I said, where's your vindication? Show me one thing that God has done to vindicate you. And I said, if he hasn't, then why do you fight what God has done? You see? You know, there's a good old expression, or an old expression that says, opinions are like noses. Everybody has one. And so it does not matter what their opinion is, because the children of God really are not interested in anyone's opinion except God's own opinion. You know, critics abound everywhere. It seems to me that the rule of criticism is that those who criticize the most are those who are helping the least. And those who get criticized the most are those who are helping people the most. If you're not trying to help anyone, you'll never get criticized. But just try to help people, and the first thing you know, someone is going to criticize you. I've had people question my motive for placing my sermons on the web. My motive is between me and God, and I'll have to answer for my own ministry. And one day I'll stand before the judge, and I'll have to answer for what I've done. But I don't have to answer for anyone else. I've had brothers tell me that my sermons are detracting from Brother Vail's, and so that I should not have them on the web. But if it wasn't for my website, Brother Vail's sermons wouldn't be available to the handful, they'd just be available to the handful of people they were before. You see? But today they're available to over 90, well, we've had over 90 nations come. They're available to the whole world. And they're being translated now through this ministry. Brother Vail's sermons are being translated through men that we are supporting to translate into Spanish. They'll be translated soon into French and whatever other languages, Norwegian and different languages. So I just say that since they're available completely around the world, instead of having a dozen ministers that we took pride in saying, you know, there's not very many people that believe like Brother Vail believes, now there's over 400 around the world through this ministry that believe the doctrine. So I'm sure the critics will always abound, and it is strange that the ones who do the most criticism are those who do the least. to help. Because those that criticize about what we're doing weren't doing anything themselves to put forth Brother Vail's ministry, other than saying, we believe it. Well, that's fine if you believe it, but what are you doing about it? You see? Now I was looking up information on Dr. Hulda Clark the other night, and when I typed in her name to do a search, I saw more websites criticizing her than I saw that stood for her. And that's the same with Brother Branham. These people can criticize all they want to, but they have their own agendas, and there seems to be a lot of wannabe Jack the Giant killers out there who have nothing better to do than try to slay or kill one of the giants in their field, whether it be Brother Branham, who towered over everyone else, or Dr. Hulda Clark, who has probably helped more people find good health than any doctor that's living. Yet the internet is full of critics who get their kicks out of criticizing those who are doing some good for God's children. There's a website by a quack who claims to be a doctor, and it's called Quack Watch. Yeah. And he's opposed to anything that's alternative medicine. So it's called Quack Watch. Anybody that believes in alternative medicine, no matter how many verifiable healings there have been, is quackery. It doesn't exist. It's all just psychosomatic. Yet he's an MD that's been taught to use drugs. So he's a drug pusher. But everybody else is a quack. You see, he's a self-appointed watchman to list anyone as a quack who would think outside the circle of conventional medicine. And I would not doubt in the least that his website is somehow supported by the pharmaceutical companies. You see, everybody has an agenda. These guys that attack Brother Branham, they have an agenda. Put themselves forward. I'll never forget an experience I had a few years ago. I was attending a marketing conference for one of the world's leading pharmaceutical companies. And that evening we all went to dinner and I sat across the table from the director, one of the directors in the company, director of marketing. And the discussion had been going on about the growing strength of the anti-vaccine movement. And so I mentioned that they should have on their website some information that could substantially refute or counter any information that is being used by the anti-vaccination crowd. In other words, it said, look, if these people, what they're saying isn't true, then give the facts. Put it on your website. I would have thought that they would say, you know, good idea. We could do that, and that'll kind of dispute a lot of the stuff. But no, you know what they said? Those people are a bunch of quacks. They don't know what they're talking about. I said, they've got scientists, they've got doctors, they've got people on their side that are just as qualified as people on your side. Oh, that's a bunch of nonsense. They're all a bunch of quacks. And I thought, you know, it's real easy to start calling names when we disagree. But let's put our money where our mouth is. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. If we have differences, talk about it. Don't just resort to name calling. Don't just resort to, you know, just freeze up. I'm not going to talk to them. I had people that I were very, well, actually they were very critical of Brother Vail. And I wrote to them. I said, you know, why is everything satanic? You know, everything, you know, you're saying that what we believe concerning the Godhead is satanic. It's influenced by the devil. I said, why would you say that kind of trash on the web? The answer came back to me and said, well, you call what you call trash, we believe is, and I said, just a minute. You know, you are criticizing, calling satanic. Let's talk about it. Well, we're not interested in talking about it. We don't want to debate. If you like to debate, I said, no, it's not a matter of debate. It's a matter of, let us reason together. If you can help me, straighten me out. But just don't tear down what I've got. Show me by the scripture. Show me by the message. But they can't do it. And they won't do it. They refuse to do it. So it's easy to label. Let's just call everybody satanic. That doesn't agree like we agree. Or like the people that don't see it like we see it. Well, they're off. Oh, really? Brother Ransom, God has a lot of children out in those churches. I met some very, very fine Christian people down in Tucson. Very fine. And I also found out that, well, in Perry's own church, his head elder, he believes just like we do. The presence, the Godhead, He said, now, I can't get Brother Perry to preach it. He said, but he said, that's no reason for me to leave the church. So they just pray for him. And I thought, you know, that's a great attitude to have. Instead of getting all muffed and, you know, shit, offended. We get so easily offended. Why can't we just talk like, you know, husband and wife? Oh, sometimes husband and wife have a good old talk. And you know, half the time, the little battles are over the stupidest little things. Like Brother Bram said, you know, he didn't even shake my hand. People get offended. He didn't even shake my hand. His mind might have been on something else. Remember the old song, Ron? You know, it was on the Pentecostal stations, you know. Excuses, excuses. We hear them every day. You know. Well, he didn't shake my hand or this or that, you know. And that's just carnality. But you know what? We are all carnal. If you're not carnal, then you are not a human being. Now, I'm not talking about your soul. I'm talking about your body. This is carnal. It came forth in carnal knowledge. We have weaknesses. We have, some have temper. Some have, just being indifferent. Some are more sensitive. Some people go by feelings all the time. Some people are just lack feeling. Some people are just stone cold, and you can see the difference in your children. You can look at children just in any family, and you've got them from one range to the other. Look at the little boys. Derek, you're two. How different they are. Well, there's certain things about them that are the same, but there are certain things that are just completely on both sides of the spectrum. That's the way that they're made. That's their nature, their human nature. But, you know, the thing of it is, God is dealing with us in here. You see, He came in this hour to bring us to a unity in the faith. We find in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21, He says, prove all things and then hold fast to that which is good. Now, the problem we have is in our holding fast. How do we hold fast? Well, if I just put mine, you know, if I just nail that thing right down, I get the old sledgehammer out and I just put that stake right in the ground, that's fine, but just don't put it in my foot. And so we see that God even gets to the place where people won't even take Him at His own word. So He vindicates His word by bringing it to pass. That's how God actually interprets His own word, is by bringing it to pass. Look, even Jesus had trouble getting the people to believe that God was with Him doing these great and mighty miracles. So why would I complain as just a pastor of a little group? Well, the people just won't believe you. They walk out, they leave, and this and that. Jesus Himself had a hard time getting the people to believe that God was in Him. And even today, the majority, I mean 99.9% of Christianity, does not believe that God the Father was in His Son. And then the other 0.1%, they dispute how He was in His Son. So if Jesus Himself could not get the people to believe Him, He said, if you don't believe me, my word, believe me for the work's sake. Look at the vindication. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. In John 14 and 10, Jesus said, believest thou that I am in the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. How'd you like to have, you know, we have so many people that would love, oh God, if I could just have a ministry like William Branham. You know why they say that? Because there's probably close to 1 million people out there who really reverence Brother Branham, maybe 500,000 at least. But what about the other billion that know of him that hate his guts? Could you take that? Having people hate your guts? Could you take it, people saying you're not even a Christian? I mean, men on the website saying, well, I doubt Brother Branham was, I mean, he was into astrology because he said the first Bible was written in the heavens, so he was into astrology and the occult. Taking everything he said and twisting it to their own advantage.
to the disadvantage of Brother Branham. So if he made a statement like that, they'd say, well, he's into the occult and he's not even, can't even classify him as a Christian. And having it posted, I mean, there's about 7,800 some odd statements. You type in William Branham, there's about 7,800 hits you're going to get. And about probably at least 7,000 of them are going to be anti-William Branham. And yet, who had a greater heart and love for God and for his people that you know of? But yet, whose motives were twisted and tormented more by the unbelievers than anyone else? Well, if there's any consolation, it's knowing that Moses, for Jesus, it was knowing that Moses had to suffer the same criticism by the people in his day. If you turn with me to Numbers 14, and reading from verse 2, he says, "And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that he had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us up unto this place, unto this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt?" And they said one to another, "Let us make a captain, and let us return to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into that land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from us, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. Now the old expression goes, "Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. When I die, you'll cry for all the names you called me." I used to say that all the times as a kid. And I've had a lot of sticks and stones, not physical sticks and stones, but a lot of verbiage thrown my way because I've tried to stay true with, you know, and I'll say this. We've had a lot of people come and go over the years, and really it hasn't been over doctrine as much as just holiness. I do preach holiness. I do try to hold to a standard. And that gets people offended. And I'm sorry if you're offended, but it's not my words. It's his words. And these were not Moses' words. These were not the spies' words that went over Joshua and Caleb. They were God. God said, "The land is flowing with milk and honey. Go take it." They came back and they confessed. Like we talked about last night, they said the same thing God said. "It's good. It's ours." The other said, "Oh, there's giants in the land with big spears and everything else." And Joshua said, "We're more than able to take it." Why? Because we've got God on our side. And so the people got so angry because they stood with God that they wanted to stone him. And so it says, "Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, "How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe, and how long will it be ere that they believe me? For all the signs that I have showed among them." In other words, God said, "Look, I have vindicated time and time and time again, and the people still err in their judgment of me. They don't trust me." Wow. They didn't trust God. That's what it boils down to. They didn't trust God. And he says, "How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere that they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed them among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they." And Moses said unto the Lord, "Then the Egyptians shall hear it. For thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it in the inhabitants of this land, and they have heard that thou art among this people." Their presence is here, that thou Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud, and by night in a pillar of fire. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven me from, forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. Now notice, here's Moses coming out of a big scuffle where the people had picked up stones and were ready to stone him for what God said. It's like a young fellow that was met with a certain pastor from another church, and the pastor said, well, why doesn't Brother Bale do this? He said, well, why don't you ask Brother Bale? Well, why didn't he do this and that? Why don't you ask him? Well, why doesn't Brother Brian, why doesn't he do this? Well, why don't you ask him? The people were angry at Moses for what God said. They wanted to stone Moses, but notice Moses. He said, God forgive him. He said, if you kill all these people off, what kind of a testimony will it be? God delivered them from Egypt by his great power just to slay them in the wilderness. He said, God, you're the God of mercy. You're the God of love and compassion. And so we hear, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Hallelujah. We have that power within us. I have pardoned according to thy word, not according to my word. Speak the word and let it be. You speak. Brother Branham said, when Hattie Wright, when she said the same thing, the Holy Spirit said, speak the word. When the squirrels are spoken into existence, he said, what do you want them, God? He said, no, you speak the word. The power of the word is in you. It's been given to you. You speak the word. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Isn't that what he said, his last words on the cross? And I say today, those that have come against me over the years, and you, I say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. Father, forgive them. Forgive me for my carnality if I've driven them out. Forgive them of their carnality for going out. May we recognize the day and hour that we live. May we have a heart like Moses. Father, they're ready to stone me, but Lord, they don't mean it. They don't know. They're confused. They're pressured. They're a pressure cooker. All they can see is those giants out there, but they don't see your promise, God. They can't help it that they don't have faith. So God, forgive them. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tested me, put me to the test, now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he and other spirit he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you, and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses, and said unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do unto you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, for 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, saith Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them I will bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. You know, one time the people, they came to Samuel. They said, you know, we don't want you anymore. We want a king. Samuel felt pretty bad until God said, look, it's not you that they reject. It's me they're rejecting. Notice it says, after the number of the days in which ye have searched the land, even 40 days, even day after, even each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him, by bringing up the slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. Oh no. Oh no. Now we're going to get it. You see? And they rose up early in the morning and gat them up to the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we will go up into the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandments of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because you have turned away from the Lord, therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up under the hilltop. In other words, regardless, they went up anyway. You see? Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites, which dwelt in that hill, and smote them and discomfited them, even unto Hormah. You see, there comes a time when it's too late to repent. Comes a time when the people have departed from the presence of the Lord, and the Lord's presence departs from them. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and the Lord put a mark upon him. And Cain never, ever, after that point, came back into the presence of God. Now, understanding vindication is the most important principle as a believer. Today, the Christian world would, every man seems to want to do according to his own understanding. And it doesn't matter what denomination or even if they claim to believe the message. The proof of whether they truly believe is in their understanding of vindication. So then, what is vindication and why is it so important? Well, vindication is the very presence of God on the scene backing up His own word. Jesus said in John 16 and verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Jesus said, if you love me, I will come and manifest myself to you. From harvest time, he said, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will teach you all things whatsoever I have taught. Oh my, bearing all remembrance to you, what I said to you, bringing to you all remembrance, and he will show you things to come. He will vindicate every word, confirming the word with signs following. Didn't Brother Brown said, the God who made the word is here to confirm it? He said, everything that he promised, that God promised in the Bible, if you'll turn loose from every creed and everything else and hold on to that word, God is obligated to take care of his word. And so when they did this, the word vindicates itself. You see, God vindicates his own word, because he is not a man that he could lie. God could not lie even if he wanted to lie. For it's impossible that God could lie. Hebrews 6 and 17. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, the irreversibility of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. Why? Because there's no shadow of turning with him. He is truth. From this day, the scripture is fulfilled. Brother Brown said, if you preach anything and it's the gospel truth, then God's obligated to vindicate that. From events made clear by prophecy, he said, when a man stands for what is truth, then God's obligated to vindicate that man, the truth. Brother Brown used the term vindication to explain that God has a one-man message and he deals with one man only. But you know, men don't like this. But they seem to want to have their own say as to how God should do things. God, why don't you do it this way? Why don't you do it that way? He said, I'll do it the way I said I'm going to do it. You see? And then when he does bring it to pass, that's his vindication. That's showing you that what I said, in the beginning God said, let there be light. How did he vindicate it? He brought light. You see? A virgin shall conceive. How did he vindicate it? He did it. He manifested it. From who do you say this is? Brother answered, the one-man message. They didn't want it. No, they didn't want it. And God never did deal with but one person at a time. It's always a one-man message. When did he ever deal with people outside of just one person? It's an individual. It ain't a group. So vindication is the real issue concerning our faith and understanding. And our understanding of that vindication comes in the form of God's personal presence with his prophet. And his presence is the verification of God's vindication. Vindication simply means that God is in control. Period. And when it comes to the program of God, we have absolutely no say in what will happen. All God requires from you and me is to get ourselves out of the way and allow God to work through his own chosen vessel according to Amos 3 and 7. Now we've already read this morning how God exacted punishment for those who doubted his word through Moses. And in the book of Deuteronomy, we find out God spelling out the same rules. In Deuteronomy 18, it says, the Lord thy God shall raise up a prophet unto thee from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the words of the voice of the Lord thy God, neither let me see his great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken in that which they have spoken. I will raise up unto them a prophet from among their brethren like unto me, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken, who will not listen, who will not pay attention to the words which he shall speak in my name, I'll require it of him. Now God set forth an order that has very strict consequences for those who will not adhere to it. He said, I will require it from you. In other words, you're going to pay the price. Notice the question then came forth from God's own mouth. He said, how will you know what is right and what is not right? And then he tells us the one that is not right will not be vindicated. I will not bring his words to pass because they are not my words. And we know that God is very protective of his own word. In Isaiah 55 and verse 10, he says, for as the rain came down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. So we find Jesus saying in John chapter 10, verse 23, and Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered and said, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. They vindicate me. But ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep. As I have said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them unto me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took stones up to stone him. You see, Jesus was just standing there and said, look, the words, the works. If you don't believe the words that I'm telling you, and God gave me the words to say, then believe the vindication. What did they do? Took up stones. Man doesn't change. They get angry. From proof of his resurrection, Brother Branham said, in quoting Jesus, he said, the works that I do are the vindication that the Father sent me. If that isn't sufficient, believe then them instead of me. Look, I don't ask any of you to believe me, but I want you certainly to believe the message, the Word of God, the prophet of God. It's not Brother Branham's words. Either we believe God, he sent with a shout, or he didn't. from Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, but Jesus come by not preaching so forceful as John, but there were signs and wonders accompanying him. He said, if you can't believe me, believe the works that I do. If you can't believe me, believe the vindication that the Father has given me. For the works that I do, the same testify that the Father has sent me. What a statement. Think of it. The works that I do testify that the Father has sent me. Man can make any kind of statement, but if God don't back up that statement, then you've got a right to say it's wrong. But when God comes around and confirms a statement to be the truth, then it's sin to disbelieve it. And what is sin? Sin is one thing. It's unbelief. That's right. You couldn't say that, how much of that is right. It's all right. And in the daytime, you couldn't say that as much, this much is day. It's all day. Jesus said, he that believeth not is condemned already. Faith in God and unbelief, that's the two things. One is sin and the other is salvation. Even in John 5 and 19, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, the Son can do nothing of himself. But what he seeth the Father do, those things doeth he likewise. For the Son, the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. And yet, even they came to him and said, you know, we know that you're a teacher sent from God because no man can do these things. But why is your doctrine so intolerable? Well, Brother Branham, when he's prophesying, when he's discerning, he never misses. But boy, don't listen to his doctrine. It's poison. Now, that's almost insanity. If the guy never misses, shouldn't that tell me that I should be listening to him? From Be Not Afraid, Brother Bam said, you believe on the Lord Jesus, have faith in God. It's all over, brother. Just believe it now. We are strangers to one another. Now, that ought to settle it for the whole group of you. Does that confirm that I'm preaching the truth? How would God let me tell something wrong and stand up with my very message? These things are only to indicate a divine, a vindication that my theology is right. From blind Bartimaeus, he said, remember, the vision does not heal the people. The vision is only a vindication that the word is right. How many knows what the word prophet means? Sure you do. A prophet means one that foretells or tells forth. It is a divine sign from God that this person that's speaking has the right interpretation of the divine word, because the word of the Lord came unto the prophets, and the prophet foretold and done those things, which is a vindication that he had the interpretation of the divine word. Otherwise, look, God's just playing games. You see, if we understood the importance of vindication, then when the word says something, you do it. Why do you do it? Because it's right. I asked Elizabeth years ago, I said, why do you wear skirts? I just want to know from your heart. Why do you wear them? She said, because, Dad, it's the right thing to do. The Bible says you are righteous because you do what's righteous. You are righteous because you do what's right. Because you believe what's right. You see? From blind Bartimaeus, Brother Branham said, remember, the vision does not heal the people. The vision is... Oh, I read that. From John 5 and 30, Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own self, my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. In other words, look, it doesn't matter what I say. It matters what he says. This lets you know that there will be a showdown. God speaks in Deuteronomy 13 of that showdown. He says, if there arise among you a prophet or dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or wonder come to pass, wherever he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you. God's always proving his kids. In Hebrews 2 and 1, we read, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to those things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. From signs of his coming, he said, a vindication of God's word being true, God bears record of his word by his signs. God's word is a seed, and that seed has to bring forth of its kind, Genesis 1:11, every seed of its kind. And Jesus said that the word of God was a seed that a sower sowed. So then every promise in the Bible has to produce its kind. Amen. Now, the signs are a vindication of the true word. God in all ages has said that. Now, some of you might want to take some of the other scripture, or some of these scriptures, and if you do, put down Hebrews 2 and 4 there. You see that God has vindicated, He's vindicated His messengers. God in sundry time and diverse manners. Hebrews starts out, spake unto the fathers by the prophets in these last days through His Son Christ Jesus. See? And seeing that, them had the gospel preached to them way back long ago and had signs and wonders to vindicate that, then how much more should we hold on after God with diverse signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Ghost? Look, more was done in William Branham's ministry than in the entire Bible. And we're going to check out that ministry because it disagrees with our theology. Hebrews 1:1, God who at sundry times, divers manners, spake in times placed unto the fathers, hath in these last days spoken us unto His Son, whom we hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. Notice, upholding all things. What's He doing? Vindicating all things by the word of His power. God said it, He's here to vindicate it. He's here to make come to pass what He said. You see? From the message of God, He said it was a vindication there, that there was a living God inside of Him. What He testified, it's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. Then He did the works. He said, look, it's not me, but to show you that God's with me, Tabitha, come forth. Blind man, now see. Dead, raise up. You know, I just can't understand where people come from. You got a man that comes with, thus saith the Lord. Seven times in that ministry, men were raised from the dead. Countless thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands, healed. Thus saith the Lord, going forth more times in that ministry than in the entire Bible. And yet they disagree because he doesn't preach a Trinitarian gospel. And so, they check him out because he's not preaching three gods when the Bible says there's one God. You see how blind people are, how stiff-necked and uncircumcised they are in their hearts? My school of theology didn't teach it that way, so therefore it's wrong. Well, my pastor said Brother Vail is, you know, he's off the word, so therefore, have you ever heard him preach? Well, no, I haven't heard him preach. Well, before you make a comment like that, why don't you listen to a sermon? Tell me where he's off the word. There's 66 of his messages on the internet. Go read it for yourself. Tell me. Show me one place where he's off the word.
Well, my pastor said he's preaching two gods.
He's never preached two gods.
Well, my pastor said he's preaching two gods.
Have you heard Brother Vail preach two gods? Have you heard him for yourself?
Well, but somebody said he was.
Why would you want to believe what somebody says? It all comes down to this. Look, I was talking to one minister. He said, well, Brother Branham told me that church age book should have been burned. Turn around, I talked to another minister. In fact, 20-some years ago, talked to Brother Collins. He said, Brother Branham told me everything in that book is thus saith the Lord. So who's right? Sure. Because of one man's testimony. Who's right? Let me ask you, who's right? Sure. If everything in that book is thus saith the Lord, then why would you burn it? Who are you going to believe? Brother Branham told this guy this, Brother Branham told that guy that. On tape, Brother Branham said, this book is going to be the greatest asset to my ministry since I've been on the field. Well, Brother Branham, are you lying? You telling one brother one thing, one brother another thing? I've got it on tape. Brother Vail, you know and I know what this ministry is all about, but I can't tell it to the people. So if you would take my words and make like it's you saying it. If any of you ministers or laity have any questions concerning the doctrine, ask Joe Schmo. Is that what he said? He said, ask Liel. Then why did they criticize the man? Because he didn't come out of their school of thinking. Boy, I tell you what. When God vindicates and then indicates, we had better listen. From a guy, he said, it's a vindication that there was a living God inside of him, and yet they took up stones to stone him. Imagine that. From Why Christ Speak, he said, the real Christian believer today, no matter what the church says, what anybody else says, when that light strikes it, they see the very vindication of God, that pillar of fire hanging there, and the signs and wonders that's promised, the scripture being laid in it, it comes to life. No matter how little it is and how many in the minority, God's group has always been in the minority. From desperation, he said, next thing he done after that, he sent a messenger with a message. He sent the pillar of fire for a vindication. Next thing after that was consolation. Hallelujah. We've got the pillar of fire. I'm waiting for the consolation. From 20th century prophet book, we read, there are always two men in two groups who demonstrate power, but one of them has the wrong source of power. The spirit of Antichrist is here as well as the spirit of Christ. The spirit of Antichrist is Satan's prophets, so close to the real and true spirit of God that only the very elected will escape the deception. Matthew 24:22-24. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, there is Christ, or here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. These true elect ones take the word. Fight with the word and never deviate. They know that he is of God and receive him. All that the prophet says and does leads them closer to him who is coming soon. They look for no other vindication. This is the vindication. Now we're told in the New Testament that God will once again send forth another prophet, and that those who do not hear him will be cut off. God does not play games with us. He says what he means what he says. In Acts 3:19, he says, repent ye therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So if the presence of the Lord is not there, there's no time of refreshing. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was appointed unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophet since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things, whatsoever you shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Wow. Every soul shall be destroyed. Notice the requirement at the hand of an angry God is destruction. Destroyed from amongst the people. This is exactly what we see in 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9. This speaks of those who are cut off from the presence of the Lord, and they will be left for the burning. God gets to the place where he vindicates, and the people don't take the vindication. What does he do? Nothing left, but he's given the judgment. He's given the warning. Then there's judgment. If you take the warning when he's giving it, you see, the timing's got to be there. These people complain all the way through the wilderness, complained for the 10 days that they had left Egypt, and God said, look, I'm sick and tired of it. Fine. If that's what their belief is, that's what they're going to get. They'll be destroyed. But the kids that were under 20 at the time of Kadesh Barnea, those kids are going to go in. The ones that they feared for, those are the ones that are going to take it. That's the mercy of God. From the token, Brother Branham said, he sent a prophet to them, Moses, with a message identifying God's word. And to identify Moses, he sent the pillar of fire that hung over him. Amen. Then to give him the perfect assurance, he required a token. Amen. There's a messenger, the message, and the vindication, and the token. The perfect assurance that they had nothing to worry about. We have nothing to worry about. From expectation. But the only person that has the right to say, thus saith the Lord, is the vindicated prophet. You never seen anybody judging Isaiah or Jeremiah or those people. They were prophets, foreordained and born in the world to be prophets, and they foresaw the things by a vision, and then said, thus saith the Lord, for the Lord had already said it. From obey the voice of the angel, he said, he sent his spirit to vindicate that his presence is with his church. From hour is the hour has come, he said, and I pray that your spirit, the angel of God, whose servant I am, may come tonight and vindicate his great presence to be here and make it an astounding time, an outstanding time, that the people may never fear no more, but to know that the supernatural great God of heaven is here among the people and is now working among his children. From the Lord, just once more, he said, the denomination will not take the vindication of the word. Notice we've read all these scriptures, all these quotes and everything else, where Brother Branham said, look, it's the presence of God which does the vindication. Because where God is, supernatural takes place. You see? From the indictment, he said, the crucifixion of Christ today is that the people who will, is the people who will deny the vindicated and manifested Son of God among the people by his things that he said would take place in this day by his word. Now the same vindication would have to be the same if he's the same Son of God. Because in St. John 14 and 12, it said, the works that I do shall you do also. Hebrews 13 and 8, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you abide in me and my works, my words abide in you, then ask what you will and it'll be given you. And so we have a ministry that comes and does the very same things and they say, who needs it? If Brother Brennan would have come with nail scarred in his hands, if he would have come with the same corporal body as the Son of God, in other words, if the Son of God himself were to come, they wouldn't have believed it either. Because didn't Jesus tell the parable about the rich young ruler? He said, he lifted up his eyes and he said, well, Abraham said to him, well, look, even if they raised him from the dead, they wouldn't believe it. From faith once delivered to the saints, said, but we're not judged by how fundamental we are, how orthodox we are to our belief. We're judged by God's election and a vindication. From the angel of the covenant, how many believes with all your heart? Now, every one of you in here ought to say right now, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is present. He rose from the dead. He's not dead. He's living. And he's living here tonight in you. See, it's only a vindication of his presence. He just does this to stimulate your faith. He preaches the word. Then he comes and makes manifest the word. Okay. From half faith in God, he said, but now in this way, it's no more than just a sign to you people that Jesus Christ is vindicating that what's been preached to you is the truth. See, Hebrews 11 and 12. God testify of his gifts. God makes manifest. But now, Brother Branham, now, what Brother Baxter has told you tonight and others in the afternoon service, the instructed and so forth, then the Holy Spirit comes into the meeting as another demonstration or vindication that what's been preached to you is the truth. There's no shadow at the judgment for us to have a way of escape at all, because God in every way has combed everything to make us believe. The first thing is his word. Seeing to me, if someone wouldn't believe my word, well, I wouldn't have much confidence in the person. But God is different. Though you do not believe his word, yet he's willing to come to you in some other way to manifest his love to you. Isn't that wonderful? How unworthy we creatures are of such love. Brother, sister, that's what the world needs today, is some more love of God. That's what the world's hungry for today, is more love of God. If we show a little more love to one another, a little more love towards God, how much better our churches and individuals, and how much better we'd be if we just love one another. If we love one another, then we can love God, for God is love. So Brother Branham said, look, the love of God is this. He gives you his word. He said, you know, if it was me, he said, you didn't take my word. I said, oh, well, fine. Off with you. But he said, God doesn't do that. God gives you his word, then he comes and backs it up. He backs it up, he backs it up, he backs it up, he backs it up. But there does come a time when he finally says, okay, no more. You see? From contending of the faith, for the faith, so the Pharisees, very fundamental and orthodox, but failed to understand the spiritual things. But they said he was a spiritualist or a devil, and that is a spiritualist. See? Because they seen the phenomenal, and they failed to recognize it, because they were just lettered altogether. Fundamental in doctrine, but nothing in a vindication. From separation from unbelief, he said, well, now, if you have never seen, here's a greater vindication of it being the truth, just look at the picture of it. It's not my picture, brother, sister, his picture. It isn't mine. And he's with the church, not just with me. Amen. From junction of times, and I believe the church is now standing on the threshold of the greatest vindication of omnipotence that the world has ever known. We've seen it. We've seen the creation. Scrolls spoken. From spiritual inspiration, and tonight the Holy Ghost is the vindication that he's here, that his power is with the believer. From it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. He said, we're at the end of the road, the Laodicean church age of message, the rejecting of the message, the vindication of the message in the presence of Christ, proving he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. From you must be born again. He said, when you're born again, God vindicates you. That's how God vindicates all of his nature. What? By their fruits. That's the way he vindicates his ministry. That's right. All of his servants are vindicated the same way that he vindicates nature. How do you know? It's a peach tree, because it brings peaches. How do you know? It's an apple tree, it's because it's bearing apples. How do you know it's a Christian? Christian signs bear from it. Christian life comes out from it. How do you know he's a teacher? The word comes from him. How do you know he's a prophet? The word comes through him. Bears record, vindication. It proves itself. How does it become that? When it dies and becomes one, that's right. When we die and become a new creature in Christ, it gets us with our calling. It stays with our calling. The fruits of the Spirit follows us when we are his servants. When we are born again, the fruits of the of Christ's life follows us. That's right. How do you know if it's a peach tree? It's got peaches. How do you know he's a Christian? He acts like a Christian. He walks like a Christian. He talks like a Christian. He lives like a Christian. Above sin, he's victorious. What does he do? What does he say? He said, what I've done, see what I've done? Christ didn't do that. He gave all the praise to the Father. That's right. That's how you know it. By their fruits you shall know them. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot understand the kingdom of God. Finally, in closing, we read if God be with us, he says, how can he be the same yesterday, today, and forever, and still divine healing gone? How can the Bible set in order the first apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors for a vindication that God still lives, and God sends them right among us, and we turn our back on it? God doesn't fail. It's the people's fail. Where's the miracles then among us? Where are they? God was talking to this man, getting him ready to go out, move the clouds out, the sun's always shining. That's right. When doubts are gone, the things are made right, miracles will be there just as sure as the sun's there. The sun, by the command of God, shines every day. It's there because God commanded it there. And as long as there is a day and night, the sun will hang there. Sure. Not all the time you'll see it, because clouds has covered it up. Fog clouds, lower high covers it up, but it's always there. From presuming, he says, yes, you're not presuming then. You know that where you stand. That's right. So don't presume about it. There are so many different ways. Just don't presume. God has given us an vindication of his promise. See, we don't have to presume about it. God's vindicated it. See, the world's guessing about what's going to happen next. We already know what's going to happen. All right? And from all things are possible, he said, and what is it? It's a vindication that he's here. Oh, can't we come in sincerity now after his word, after his presence? That's the very God that'll judge you on the judgment day. He's here. And from oneness. Look what happened. Why, the same God that separated and come to Abraham and showed him the vindication of his separation. How I wish that I could. I wish that I could just do something to let you see it. How God showed Abraham, being that he had separated himself, he showed him the vindication of his separation. That he was with him and right in his midst. And Jesus said that the same thing will take place in the last days. Not a nation was Abraham. He was in the minority, but God was with him. He separated him then. We're supposed to separate ourselves in the last days. Well, what are you going to separate yourself to? To the vindication. We got a vindicated word? That's all we need. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Believing, Father, that you who gave the word are here to confirm it. And so we ask you, Lord, now to bless it. May we just be tilled up in our faith. May we have stronger conviction now than ever before. For you alone, Father, are God, and you who gave the word are here to confirm it, and we believe that you will not leave us nor forsake us, but you're here, your presence is here. It can be felt by that inner charge in the inner being called the new birth. And Father, we believe, as your prophet said, that your Holy Spirit, your pillar of fire, is here to lead us into the millennium. So until we're there in that millennium, we know that you'll be with us. And Father, now we ask that you would help us, Lord, to be tilled up, and we just pray that when you go, Father, you take us with us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.